before you. But I tell you what, we've been talking about one of the greatest messages that has ever been told, and that is God's love expressed in the giving of His Son. Luke chapter 2. I've titled the message "The First Carol," and for those of you that are interested, I realize my time is well nigh gone, so I will be mindful of that this morning. As I put together my thoughts, I thought this is the 28th year that I have opened the Word on a day like today, leading into a celebration of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so I truly do appreciate all the kindnesses that you as a church family do at this season, the musicians and all the preparations. So much goes on behind the scenes that you'll never know about until something's not right, and then we all see it. But I think it's been a perfect day, and we have truly enjoyed it. Let's bow before the Lord. Father, we come today with a heart that is truly grateful. We do not know the background of some of the songs today and how many of them were written and sung at a time of war, a time of sorrow, a time of heartache, a time in which the world knew no peace at all. Of course, we're reminded that the world had rejected and even crucified the Prince of Peace. And so, Lord, we come today, some of us, knowing the peace that only can be found in Jesus Christ. And maybe others that have come today are searching for peace. It seems that everywhere we turn right now, it's a call for peace. A peace in Europe, a peace in the Middle East, a peace in our own United States. And yet we've been reminded that the prophecy of your second coming would be that men would be saying, "Peace, peace," and yet there would be no peace. But Lord, I know that there is peace. Peace to them that know you as Savior. And so, Lord, there might be someone here this morning that knows nothing of that peace, and yet they realize the absence of peace in their own life. I pray right now in the short time that we have that we'll be able to present anew the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. I titled the message, "The First Carol." The First Carol. You know, over the years, I presented Christ in His prophecies. And I presented the fact of Eve receiving the message in Genesis chapter 3 that she would be the mother of a child whose lineage would be traced to her. And that mother would be one that would crush the head of Satan. Of the reminder of Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, when he was promised that he would be the father of a lineage in which a son would come. And through him, all the world would be blessed. David was the king of Israel. And as he sat on the throne, God promised him that there would come one of his lineage whose reign would be forever and ever. The prophet Isaiah wrote these words in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. We read also in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Micah wrote to the prophet Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2 of the birthplace of the Messiah. And he writes in Micah 5 and verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel." And look at the last statement. "Whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." In the mind of the prophets, the one that was coming was the eternal one, the everlasting one. And so we would ask the question, who might this be? Well, we've considered also Christ's birth from the human perspective. Last week we looked at the lineages of both Mary and Joseph. The angel came to Mary and said to her that you're highly favored, Mary. You see, for she had been chosen to conceive a child of the Holy Ghost and to bear a son, and his name would be Jesus. Joseph, who was betrothed to her, when he learned that Mary was with child, the Bible says that he wrestled in his heart of what would he do with Mary. Would he divorce her, as would have been the case being betrothed? Would he bring shame and humiliation upon her? Or would he just quietly put her away? But once again, the angel intervenes. And the angel tells Joseph that that which Mary is expecting is none other than the child of the Holy Ghost. We read in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20 and 21, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." And then thirdly, and this is perhaps not on your outline, but there were also the shepherds that we find in Luke chapter 2. If you have your Bible, would you turn there with me again? And I don't know, is the PowerPoint not working, Sheila? I'm ahead of you. I'm going to move on. Look with me at Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 8 and 9. And I want you to see three thoughts regarding the angels. The first is the angels' appearance. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8, the angels appear, and we read that there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." This is the third appearance of the angel regarding the conception and the birth of Jesus Christ. And then we ask the question, why were the shepherds so terrified? Well, the answer is, as you know the Scriptures, that angels often appeared as a coming of judgment that would soon be coming to pass. And perhaps it was the appearance of the angel and the fear of the angel and what it might bring in bad news that it left them shaken. But I think it was really the appearance of just the angel himself. We know that there was the glow of heaven, the Shekinah glory of God that shone about that angel. The visible presence, the glory of the Lord. And then I'd ask you to look with me at the announcement of the angel. So we have the appearance, now the announcement. And we find that in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10. First of all, it's an announcement that came with promise. "And the angel said unto them," to the shepherds, "fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." You know, the world will celebrate this December. All around the world, the bells will be ringing and people will be singing. The celebration of the coming of the Christ child. But I wonder how many truly know Him for who He is. We have not only then in that verse the command, fear not, but also the comfort, good tidings. And then in verse 11, as you have your Bible there, I would invite you to consider not only the promise, but the place and the person. Luke 2 and verse 11. For unto you, that is unto the poor shepherds, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I find that interesting. As you look at verse 11, it doesn't really give His name, His earthly name, Jesus. Instead, it gives His titles. And so we're given the place in fulfilling what Micah had prophesied in chapter 5 and verse 2. And that place is the city of David, the city, really the village of Bethlehem. And then the titles of this Christ child. He is Savior, and that is a deliverer, for He shall save His people from their sins. He is the Christ. The word Christ there means the Anointed One. And indeed, He was anointed. As He came into this world, He came as a king. And though His throne was a manger, He came as a Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He came as a high priest, the mediator between God and man. But then there's the word Lord. Lord means that He is the sovereign master. And none other than God Himself could bear that title. But then there's also, thirdly, the proof. And we read these words, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You shall find the babe, the child, wrapped in swaddling clothes. There was nothing unusual about that. Jewish mothers always wrap their children, their infants, in swaths of cloth. But what was unique was lying in a manger. And then thirdly, as I promised I would not be long, I would invite you to consider the angel's anthem. We've listened to so many choruses or carols this morning. Some of them I disagree with. For instance, the carol written during the Civil War. I've always thought of it as the War of Northern Aggression. Being a southern boy from South Carolina. But I found the interest, so interested that I heard the bells on Christmas Day was inspired at a time where there was no peace. That our nation was torn asunder by war and heartache. And then as I thought about that, I thought about the world that you and I are living in today. I doubt you can look at any news at all and not read about the war in Ukraine and against Russia, the threat of China against Hong Kong and ultimately Taiwan, the war in Israel with Hamas and Israel engaged in their bloody warfare as well. And then I thought about the lack of peace in our own nation. We are divided. We're not just politically divided. We're divided by our morals and our beliefs. And so we're a nation torn asunder. But then I also know enough about families that there are probably families here this morning and other families listening online that your family longs for peace. And yet there is no peace. Would you notice with me in Luke chapter 2, and I would invite you to consider with me the singing of what I've called the heavenly army. And we read in verse 13, and suddenly, that is immediately, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, I've already told you, if you read in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 through 12, it speaks of 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands and thousands. And that's well beyond 100 million angels. And what are those angels doing? They are ever praising and worshiping God on His throne. Now the angels have been sent on a mission, for the Son of God now indwells in the body of a child, an infant. And the manger will soon be the place like the altar where shepherds will worship. And so we have the singing of this heavenly army, the host of heaven. And what were they singing? Would you notice with me verse 14? And it is the carol of the angels. And really, there are three refrains for this carol. We read Luke 2 and verse 14. Glory, that is praise and honor. Glory to God in the highest, highest be in heaven. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Allow me to give you the three refrains. And believe it or not, I will close. The first is the adoration of the angels. Glory to God in the highest. It literally means this: praise the Most High God. Praise the Almighty, the Supreme God of heaven. And why this praise? Why praise Him? For He is the author of our redemption. In Christ is salvation. And there is no peace apart from Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. There is no peace apart from Christ. And so we have the adoration. But then I invite you to look at verse 14 again. And I want you to notice the anticipation on earth, peace. Nations go to war. Families are torn asunder. Friendships are destroyed for a lack of peace. And people turn to everywhere looking for peace. Sometimes they'll seek peace in the escape of what they think will be found in drugs and alcohol. And yet there is no peace. Some will look to sinful pleasures, thinking that pleasure somehow will fill the void. And yet there is no peace. People look to careers and honors and fame and fortune and riches and possessions. And yet none of those give peace. I'm always amazed as I follow world events and follow places like Hollywood and a great sport athletes, and how many of them take their own lives because they've not been able to fill the void and the emptiness that only the Prince of Peace can fill. And so you have the adoration, you have the anticipation, and lastly, the assurance. Look with me. Goodwill toward men. You see, Christ being born among men was the very expression of God's good will. It's the expression of His grace and His mercy. And I close with three thoughts regarding peace. In John chapter 14 and verse 1, as Christ is preparing to leave His disciples, He will soon go out into the night and will be arrested. Before the day has passed, this one born in a manger will find himself hanging on the cross. And there He will shed His blood and will die. And He says to His disciples that night, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. The word belief is an expression of one's faith. Another verse, John chapter 14 and verse 27. The verse prior to this, the Lord promises and He says, I'm going away. And there was anxiety among all the disciples about where are you going and why can't we come? But He says, I'm going away, but I'm going to send a comforter. And that comforter is the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. But in John 14 and verse 27, He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives and all of its offerings, but I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And then lastly, John chapter 16 and verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, and say it with me, that in me, say it together, ye might have peace. And so I close by asking you, do you know Christ, the Prince of Peace? So, preacher, what is peace? It means a lack of worry, of anxiety, and it means courage that only can be found in Jesus Christ. The story of Christmas is not about a babe in a manger. As important as that is, because that was the sign of the coming for the shepherds. But the story of Christmas must be summed up in this, that God did so love the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's why we're celebrating that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know Him as your Prince of Peace? And if you do not, would you not accept Him in this hour by believing? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Father, as we consider your peace, it is the peace that overcomes the world. It is the peace that passes all understanding. It is the peace in which there is hope. But Lord, there might be some here this morning that are in a place where there is no hope because there is no peace. And Lord, I pray right now, whether it's someone that's sitting in the auditorium or someone that's listening online, that if there's anyone that is here this morning and doesn't know you as the Prince of Peace, that right now, one, they would confess that they are a sinner and their life is one of sorrow and anxiety. Maybe there's someone here that has tried to fill the void with all kinds of things, only to leave unhappy and empty. Lord, it's my prayer that sinner this morning will say, oh God, I know that I'm a sinner, but I do believe. I believe that Christ died for my sins, that He was buried, that He was raised from the dead. I believe that the Christ child is the Savior. Today I accept Him as my Redeemer. And Lord, we know that Your Word promises that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around. Let me ask you this morning, how many of you could say, with God knowing your heart, Pastor, Christ is my Savior and I know His peace. How many could raise your hand and just say that? Esther, that's my heart. I know the Prince of Peace, for He is my Savior. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Now, maybe you weren't able to raise your hand because you don't have that peace. But I encourage you this morning, right where you're sitting, to say, Lord, be my Savior. And forgive me of my sins, I pray. And with that simple act of faith, you move from being a sinner, lost and empty, to a child of God with hope. You know, this morning also there might be some families here that are torn with strife. And you long for peace. In fact, you've even said, I would give anything to have peace. Are you willing to give your heart to the Lord? Are you willing to surrender and say, Lord, whatever your will is, I will do it. That you might know that peace. I pray that you will this morning. We're going to stand in a moment. We're going to sing. And I know the steps up here where we often bow and pray are covered. But you know, right where you're sitting, you can right now make that decision to accept Christ. Or the decision to surrender everything and trust Him. And say, Lord, give me the peace that only You can give. Let's stand. Father.